The place we're on today is expression in the Lord's Prayer that we're familiar with. You know, it's the expression, your kingdom come. But in order to understand that phrase, we almost got to backtrack again to say, well, what is it that we've already covered? Just again, we'll only take a couple of minutes, but listen to this. Our approach when we come to God in prayer is we look up and we say, our Father who is in heaven. Your vision and my vision is to look at heaven, to look at my Father. His position is heaven. He's in a different realm than I'm in. Are you with me? His realm, to where he is positioned, is heaven. It's beyond this realm. So when we get to that place, and we've kind of got an understanding of that, and if you haven't got the messages, they're on. If you haven't heard the last couple of messages on this, go online. They're there. We've looked at our Father who is in heaven. Then we looked at this phrase, holy is your name. Your name is beyond any other name. Holy, you are set apart from everybody else. First meaning of the word holy is to be set apart. Means you're way beyond. You're way beyond. Come on, what's on earth? In our view, what's in your life, in your view, what's going on in circumstantially, he is way beyond. Now, when we say holy is your name, we're also talking about his character, right? We're talking about who he is and what he's like. And those seats available right here, guys. Maybe you guys can, yeah, right up here, there's some seats available. Amen. So we look at this aspect of holy. Amen. God bless you. And when we think about this phrase, holy is your name, we're thinking about looking again towards heaven, towards God, towards someone who's beyond us. But he's not so beyond us. Because even though he's our Father in heaven, and even though holy is his name, he's come to reveal himself to us. He's come to reveal what he's like to this realm. He's our Father in heaven. Yes, posture your mind fixed on that. Get your mind fixed on that. Our Father who's in heaven. And you're supernatural. You're beyond our ability. Your ways and your character are so right and so pure, so just. Everything about God is amazing. And then we start into the requests. And the first thing we ask, that realm come to earth. The first thing we ask, your kingdom come. Father, where you're enthroned in heaven, where you are seated in the heavenly realm, it's way beyond us. But now you're asking us to pray for it to come to earth. We're saying, your kingdom come. Let me just say this. God's intention has always been that his rule, a kingdom means his domain, the place where he rules, the place that you can see the evidence that God's been here, that God is here. Your kingdom, your rule, your domain, your atmosphere, heavenly atmosphere that's there. In heaven right now, everything is at peace. Did you know that? That everything in heaven is at peace. There's not conflict. There's not turmoil. There's nothing messed up there. Nothing. Angels bow down, worship him. Those who rebelled were kicked out of heaven. How many know that?
I know that.
Yeah. So in heaven, everything is at peace. Everything is righteous. Everything is pure. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's joy. There's love. There's community. It's wonderful. In every way, it's wonderful. Now, God, Jesus says, hey, when you pray, this is how to pray. Look to your Father in heaven, whose name is holy, and ask for him, and ask for who he is, what he's like, to come to earth. Your kingdom come. Now, here's the thing. God's in a measure, in some respect, hey, Jesus is king. Is he any? God is king, right? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, according to the Bible, and he is a ruler over all things. So there is a statement, and there is a reality, and there is a fact in which God is king, right? But is it evident on earth as it is in heaven? Is it evident? Is it evident in your life? Is it evident in the life of the family? Family? Is it evident in the life of culture? In the life of our earthly realm? Is it evident? Well, in reality, it's not. It's almost a paradox. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lord over all things, and it's a reality that's true. But there's a natural sense, there's a sense in which we, as those who are his followers, and those who were the followers in the day, asked the question. And he said, this is how to pray. Well, how do you pray? You pray for my kingdom to come. Well, Lord, I thought you were king already. Are you with me here? I thought you were already king. I thought you were already rule. I thought that's your posture. That's your position. You're sitting in a throne up in heaven. Well, what are you saying? Your kingdom come. He gives us the privilege of being partners with him. Whoa. He gives you and I, his sons and daughters, born again sons and daughters who've been born of the Holy Spirit, that we have become citizens of what? Heaven. Come on, you remember that message I spoke a few weeks ago? We are no longer citizens of earth, we're citizens of heaven. We've shifted from, yeah, I live on earth, but there's a place. You could be living here. When I first came here, I lived in PEI for 8 years, and I was citizen of India. In that year, 1980, I became a citizen of Canada. Okay, but when people, there's a difference. Are you with me? I got a card to prove it. They gave me a card to prove it. But the reality is, see, we carry the nature. In a spiritual realm, I carry the nature. I carry the credentials as well. So I'm required as a citizen of Canada. I got this card, and on the card, it actually made some statement. This was a card back in 1980, so you guys get different things today. But I'd like to, who's got a Canadian citizenship card on them? Or I know they give you a certificate. Do they give you a card? That's it. I mean, I got a card to put in my wallet. It was like somebody asked me, I'd stick the card out. Here, I'm a citizen, man. But let me tell you something. That's one thing, but the point is, on the card, it said, now that you've become a citizen, you have privileges and responsibilities. To be, as a Canadian citizen, you got privileges of this country, but you also have responsibilities. So, this is when we ask Jesus, when we ask the Father in prayer, Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come. What we're saying is, God, manifest your dominion, your domain, your realm through me. First and foremost, this prayer has to do with this, because I want you to get the context. Where is the Lord's Prayer found in the Matthew's Gospel? There's a section of Matthew's Gospel, 5, 6, and 7. Those chapters are called something. Who knows what those Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are called? Sermon on the Mount. Where is it found? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And what's the Lord's Prayer? Chapter 6. The reason I say that is it has to do with even what Jesus is talking about here. Now, I'm going to backtrack a bit. The disciples thought, when they were thinking kingdom, they thought Jesus came to set up his kingdom on earth. How many know they thought he should be wiping out the Roman army? Because, I mean, if you know the story of when Jesus came, you know, these people were under oppression. Rome was like a fierce, empire. And they were corrupt, and they were all of that. And these believers, these early Jewish converts, believers, were saying, yeah, come on, King Jesus, go, come on, you're going to rule, you're going to set up a throne, and we're going to wipe out this Roman army. I mean, that's the first thing we're going to do. I had no idea what Jesus meant by the kingdom. Then Jesus starts teaching. I don't have time for this to go into the details, but listen, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we might as well say they're the teachings concerning the kingdom. They're teachings to show us how to live in the kingdom. How to live in the kingdom, how to practice the kingdom, how to process the kingdom, how to experience the kingdom. Now, I believe all of Matthew, really, listen to this, Matthew's gospel, if there's a gospel that talks about the kingdom more, it's Matthew's gospel. It's not just Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I believe it's all of it in this regard, because when the kingdom of God manifests, when we ask here in prayer, Father, let your kingdom come, we're not asking for Jesus to set up a rule that he can wipe out our government. We're talking about Jesus to be acknowledged again as true king that he was always meant to be. I'm going to back up even more. For some reason, the people of God who were given this place of privilege back in the day, you know, people of God in the Old Testament were the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. It wasn't that, you know, God was exclusive. You know what God wanted to do? He wanted them to represent him on earth. Like, if I call myself a Christian today, the idea is I believe in Jesus. I have all the benefits of being a believer, but it's also for me to represent him, right? It's also that I would show people what it's like to have this kingdom experience, hey, that I experience this new life in Jesus. Come on, isn't that right? Well, back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it was the intention of God that these people would know him as their king. And they would only bow to him, that they would get their understanding from him, that they would get their instruction from him, that they would, when they lived their life, they didn't need to have any other ruler over them but him. How many of that's true? Was it God's intention for God's people to have a king? Come on, how many know the Bible says it wasn't God's intention? I spoke about it last night a little bit, but let me read to you a couple of verses. So it says in the passage in Isaiah 43:15, it says, I am your king, Jesus said to them, a God would say to them. But they kept requesting, they kept asking, and asked, they said to Samuel, listen, all the people are saying to you, It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. Because they rejected God as king and want an earthly king, then their mindset was always then on earth. Are you with me? There was a different, oh, you're going to take care of us. You're going to protect us. You know, isn't it weird that we actually have got that mindset now? The state should take care of everything. You know what I mean by the state? Government. Because that's a natural realm. Thinking with our natural mind. Forgetting the fact that he wants to be king. And he hasn't changed his mind. So we're asking, once again, we're asking in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your rule once again come. I'm acknowledging you. Yes, it's interesting because even when they were on earth and Jesus got talking to them about the fact now that they've chosen a realm, another realm, to be in charge, which is the earthly realm. Okay, are you following me? Governments are earthly realms. Right? We have now, that's the system of the world. That's the system in which we operate. True? And they were asking the question, Lord, who do we obey? You or Caesar? Remember that question? How many remember that? Well, he says, now that you're in this system, well, you give to Caesar what's Caesar, you give to me what's mine. Understand? So there is a, God works through the brokenness of man. So there is a place we respect those. It's not like, oh, well, we're wanting Jesus to be king, so we're not going to bow to any other king. You understand? It's not what we're saying. But there is a place where Jesus has to be king of kings and lord of lords. That Jesus is the one to whom we submit first and foremost. Because even in those days, they had to make decisions concerning kingdom of God, his word, or their word. So we're asking this. So today, when we say your kingdom come, we're asking once again, we're saying once again, Lord, forgive us for having earthly kings to whom we bow, earthly leaders to whom we bow before we bow to you. We're asking for your kingdom to return, your kingdom to come. Because here's the thing, earthly kingdom will do their best to make righteous laws. How many of you believe that our government makes righteous laws here in Canada? Do they? Well, come on. They do their best, but they don't do the best. Right? Right. Okay. So there is a place where that's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, even the Moses, law of Moses, even those laws and even all the additions that they made to the laws, it was their standard. That's why Jesus said, you know, you say thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say to you, thou shalt not look at a woman with lust in your heart, because it's like you committed adultery already. See, the law of the king is far more superior. So Jesus ups it because the law of the kingdom is so much more. When I have him king over my life, guess what? When he's king over my life, then lustful thoughts must bow to the king. When I have King Jesus over my life, then anything that's not of the kingdom of God's got to go. So I just want us to see, when we pray for his kingdom to come, when we pray for his rule, his dominion, his reign to come, we're asking for his ways, for his characteristics, his qualities. Now, how does this become a reality? I have to really speed this up a little. How does that become a reality? See, the kingdom of God that he's talking about is not first and foremost a natural kingdom. Are you following me? right? It's not a kingdom of this world. It's not the kingdom of this earth. Any kind of a kingdom. That kingdom of God is first and foremost a spiritual kingdom. Spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom where God rules. It's a kingdom where when he rules, there's a realm in which that which is of him will manifest in that which is on earth. Now listen, it's a spiritual kingdom, but it manifests on earth. It's a spiritual kingdom, but it manifests in your life. It affects your life. How does that happen? Well, it's quite simple. It's quite simple. That spiritual kingdom manifests in your life by the Holy Spirit. Okay, follow me. Okay. Jesus said in John 3, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you are. Come on. John 3. Who knows the verse? You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. And Nicodemus said, well, how does this happen? Through a natural process? Do I go back in my mom's tummy and come out again? Jesus, that ain't how it happens. How you're born again is that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You must be born of the Spirit. That all makes sense. Think about it. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It manifests by his Spirit, through his Spirit, and it's all about Holy Spirit. Come on. So what Jesus was saying is when the kingdom of God comes, it's my presence. Come on. Jesus says when the kingdom of God comes, it's my presence in your life by the Holy Spirit that's going to make a difference. Aren't you glad? Come on. So there is a place where the realm of his rule, the realm of his reign, come on. It all kind of fits together because when I look at the activity of Holy Spirit, oh, wow, it's amazing. Because I want you to first of all see the minds of the followers of Jesus, the disciples, even just before he was ready to leave, he was ready to say, see you later. I'm coming back later, but see you later. He goes after his resurrection. How many know he ascended? And as he was ascending, look, go back, go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, their mind, for some reason, was still thinking about earth. It's interesting. Here Jesus has been teaching them about the Holy Spirit, and he's been telling them this is what it's about. This kingdom is about spiritual kingdom. Over and over again. And they still didn't get it. And here, Acts chapter 1, let's read this passage. It says here in these verses, in the first section of this, in verse 6, Acts 1, 6. When they were together for the last time, this is Jesus and his disciples. They were together for the last time. And they said, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Their mind was still set on earthly realm. Hey, is this Jesus? What did Jesus say? I love this. He told them, you don't get to know the time. The timing I'm reading from the message here, but let me go back to the NIV. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the date the Father has set in his own authority, but this is the kingdom. Okay. He didn't say it like this, but I'm saying it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, Jesus says, you're thinking of about an earthly realm. You're thinking about a kingdom, and there's coming a day. Let me tell you, when we pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth, when we pray for his kingdom to come, there is a day in which Jesus is coming to set up a kingdom. How many of you know that? I don't have to necessarily pray for that. It's going to happen. It's set already, according to the Bible. Jesus said, I don't even know the day or the hour when that's going to happen. In the physical realm. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Come on now. Yeah, but let me tell you something. There is a realm that we can pray that it would come now. There's a realm which we can pray, a dominion, a domain. There's a sense in which we can pray for his kingdom to come now. And this kingdom that's coming now is to be in a very sense tangible. It's in a very sense practical, in a very sense present, peace-filled, and powerful. It's to be Holy Spirit come into my life. And that's, boom, the kingdom of God. It's the manifestation, it's the presence of Holy Spirit that's going to bring change. And Jesus starts to usher it in. Come on. Isn't it beautiful? Jesus starts to usher in the kingdom. When Jesus was on earth, these are many references that talk about this. Jesus says the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. When the miracles were happening, kingdom of God has come upon you. When Jesus would show up and peace would be present and you know, things would happen. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is upon you. But there was a time when he left, just as he was leaving, he said, listen, when I go, I'm going to give you the means by which you as God's people, you as my people will start to bring in the kingdom of heaven. So the first request, the first thing about this request, about when we pray, your kingdom come, is God, let your rule, let your dominion come into my life. You know, the only one that I really have control over? The only one that, as much as you think preachers, oh, well, they got control, they got power, they got authority. There's a place we have authority. But, really, the only place that I can change is right here. The only place you can change is right here. And husbands, we better learn that real quick. Wives, you better learn that real quick. Because you can't change as much as you think you can. And you might have influence, but you're only going to change yourself. Right? The reason I say that is the only place that I can truly have Holy Spirit manifest, first and foremost, is in me. He can change my mindset. Here's the thing about it. See, the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is among you. Did you know? He said something really interesting. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many heard that expression? Oh, often he would say that. Why? Because you see, our mindset, think about this. The word repent really means to change your mind. How many of you know that's what the word means? First and foremost, repent means you're thinking a certain way. Your thought patterns are this way. Now I want you to stop thinking that way. It's like you're thinking this way, you're going this way. You're thinking this way because you think this way, you go this way. Okay, listen. He says, I want you to stop thinking that way and I want you to start thinking my way. And when you start thinking my way, you start going the other way. Did you catch that? Okay. How many of you know the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Okay. Really important here. If I'm praying for his kingdom to come. And Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray for his kingdom to come. And they're still thinking about an earthly kingdom? Hey, get that? They're still thinking about what? Jesus is going to come, beat the Romans, and set up a rule right here. Are you following me? Their realm is still where? Earthly. I'm just using that as an example. If the realm that God wants to bring is a heavenly realm. If a realm that God wants to bring is a spiritual realm, if a realm, a domain which God wants to bring on earth is his domain, his dominion, the place where he's, hey, what's that look like? Let's go to Romans for a minute, Romans chapter 14 for just a quick second. Romans 14, verse 11. It's not the one I'm looking for. What verse is that in Romans 14, guys? The kingdom of 17, thank you. Okay, Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You know what he's saying, basically? Let's just put it another way. Kingdom of God is not a matter of this world. Kingdom of God is not a matter about eating and drinking. Basically, we're saying it's not about this earthly realm. The kingdom of God is beyond. Now, let me say this. The kingdom of God wants to intersect with earthly realms. That's why the Lord's Prayer, for your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there is a place the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven wants to intersect. It wants to come here. But what it wants to do is it wants to take us off the things that occupy our minds and our space in the natural realm. How many are concerned about finances? Come on, I'll use an example. How many are concerned about your money? Come on. Hey, put up your hand, don't be a chicken. Are you concerned about your financial affairs? A bunch of you guys are just sitting there lying. How many are concerned about finances? Put up your hand. Come on, Brian, put up your hand. Melissa, come on, let's go. Every single one of us are. Come on, don't be chickens here. The reality is we all are. True? Okay. Now we're going to go to another verse in a minute, but let's go to this first. So the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. What's it a matter of? It's another realm. It's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy. How? 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 In the Holy Spirit. Can't have kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God outside the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to go to another passage for a minute because I want concerning finances and concerning. Okay, go to Matthew 6. Noel, keep an eye on the watch.
I am, don't worry.
God bless you. Okay, quarter two. Wave at me. Quarter two. Thank you. Matthew 6. All right. God bless you guys. Okay. I'll see the hand. I'll say, I see that hand. That's an inside joke. Some of you got that one.
Why do you think I sat up?
Amen. All right, here it is. So listen to this. Matthew 6. Now, where is this prayer found? Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 6, it's not just a prayer. It's everything in that section you should look at here. But look at Matthew 6. And he's talking about worry. Okay, Matthew 6. Now here it is. If my concerns are of an earthly realm, hey, listen, I'm not telling you that I'm so spiritual that I don't think about these things. Did you hear what I just said? This is not a message to you and not to me. This is a message for me as much as it is for you. Okay, but there is a place where I can be occupied and preoccupied in my mind about finances and about what I'm going to eat. So here's the thing. But if I set my perspective right, it's interesting. Think about this. The Lord's Prayer, the first three segments of the Lord's Prayer got nothing to do with our needs. Did you notice that? It's got nothing to do with our needs. But guess what? The last three sections had everything to do with our needs. Hey, get that. Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it goes to give us this day. See, it's perspective. It's perspective. If I recognize that he rules, he's my Father who's in heaven, then I can live like this. Matthew 6, look what it says. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field, they do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Listen, for the pagans, you know what the word pagan is? Unbelievers. For those who are unbelievers, run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Hey, I can choose to live as I please. I can choose to believe that God is my Father in heaven. I can choose to believe and pray that his kingdom will come. And with his kingdom, if I'm in that place where I'm seeking him first and seeking his kingdom first and seeking his realm first, yes, this world is going to have its lure. This world is going to have its attractions. And this world is going to affect me. And my life and your life, the things that you've experienced in this world and in this life are going to affect you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your past will affect you. Your present will affect you. Your future will affect you. If you look at it from a natural realm, you will operate at a natural realm. You will not have the power and the presence of God, which is the kingdom of heaven, available to every single one. So when we pray for his kingdom to come, we're doing what it says here in the last part of this section. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know what it's all about, guys? The bottom line is faith. Trust. Who do I trust? Hey, you know what? I can trust this thing, but I'll tell you, how many of you know this is all burnable material? Every single thing in this wallet. Every single thing in this wallet is going to burn. I remember one guy saying to me, he was really, really, I listened with respect. This guy was a preacher, but he had been a high up in the bank's system. And, he could have been a CEO of a company. He was just brilliant. And he was a chartered accountant and all that. And he got up and he said to me, he had a message on something like this, you know, who you trust. This was like 40 years ago I heard this message. Never left me. He said, nothing in this world is secure. Your financial security is not dependent on a good bank account. Your financial security is not about all the money you got saved. Nothing. Only one thing that is secure. Who's your Father? Your Father in heaven will take care of you, man. I just came back from Toronto a couple of weeks ago. You know, I was in Toronto, some of you know. And we were at this conference. At the conference, a man gave his testimony that we prayed for weeks. Andrew Brunson, a pastor, missionary, and in a country that didn't appreciate what he was doing, he was imprisoned. With a charge that said that he was a spy. And that all kinds of false charges against him. He'd been there a couple of years. I'll tell you, when you get into a situation like that, then you better know who your daddy is. Nothing is secure. No guarantee. None whatsoever. We think we have it easy here because we don't have persecution. You wait and see. Already Christians are in some form of struggles and persecution because they don't value the things of the kingdom. This world will never value the things of the kingdom. The things of the kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy are God's gifts, and we need to just usher them in. We need to ask God, Lord, let it be that my eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. God, I so desperately want your kingdom. Lord, I want your kingdom in my life. Here's the thing. This prayer is not a selfish prayer. This prayer is the opposite. I'm saying your kingdom come. It's totally opposite. It's like, God, your kingdom come. Do what it takes to get rid of the things that are in my life that are affecting the kingdom of God to come. Do everything you can, God, to affect the change in the world around me, in the church in which I am, to allow your kingdom to come. I could speak on this another message, really. I know that. But I want you to hear this, guys. This is prayer of Jesus that he gives to us to pray. I got to read this passage, guys. Hebrews 12, the last section. Last couple of verses in Hebrews 12, then we're going to wrap it up. Some of you were here last night to the house of prayer meeting. I read these verses, but I'm going to read this section tied into this message because I want you to see something. Here, guys, the things of this earth that we're clinging on to, and I'm talking could be anything like worry or the actual physical thing that I'm hooked on to. You know, there's a day coming and it's all going to be shaken. And it's happening now. There's a shaking going on. There's a refining going on. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And the sooner I get it, the better it is for me. Okay, verse 26. Hebrews 12, 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what things that can be shaken. And what is that? The created things. Anything of this realm, anything of this realm will be shaken. So what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You get that? Isn't that awesome? Therefore, we're receiving a kingdom. We're asking for the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Come on, isn't that a great scripture to tie things up here? Do you see it? Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that somehow something of this message will get into our spirit, that we will recognize that God's kingdom is about peace. God's kingdom is about righteousness. God's kingdom is about love. God's kingdom is about joy. God's kingdom is about Jesus ruling and reigning. God's kingdom is about his characteristics, his qualities coming to earth. So my prayer is that Jesus would come and his rule and reign would come in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I once again declare, Lord, can we just declare our life to be surrendered to Holy Spirit? Come on, let's once again say, Lord, I surrender my life to Holy Spirit to rule and reign in me. God, I thank you that you want to bring the good news, the gospel of the kingdom through me in peace, in presence, and in power. In Jesus' name, amen.